What do we do?
I don't... Have you two gone completely insane?
Open up this door instantly, you cocksuckers!
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
I'm Joe.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
I'm thirsty.
Get your drink on.
I mean, I have regular water. It's not bong water.
It's February. Did you know it's February? And what we do in February is we'd like to give a little love to people we've met, people who have suggested movies, and we are doing a whole month of one person suggested four movies to us. And that would be Viking Ken on Instagram. We met him. We were actually, what was it? We were in a comic book hunting.
We were comic book hunting. We were in Tally. And we met Ken at a comic book store, and he's a really nice guy, and we got to talking to him about comics, and he was just really cool. And he recommended movies to us, and he actually recommended movies to us before this.
I don't remember if he recommended them then, but when he went online, we talked, because we hit it off, and he followed us on Instagram, and we started having conversations. In fact, every single day, he sends us a motivational video, a funny motivational video, and I think it's hilarious.
Good morning, you shiny fuckers.
Yeah, you sexy burritos and all that kind of stuff. And it makes me laugh every time.
Yeah, me too.
And I love that we just randomly met somebody while doing our comic book stuff and friended them.
Yeah.
And we've now, you know, been chatting online for a while now. It's been like a year or two.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. We love meeting new people, and
he
Ken's
gave us
pretty cool.
And I'm shocked because I just said, hey, if you ever have seen a bad movie, we love doing it on the podcast, so just give us some examples. And he actually gave us four. Perfect. And you know what's shocking about it is we always ask people, what's the worst movie you've ever seen? And most of the time we've seen them.
Yeah.
It's really rare that we haven't seen a movie that, you know, other people say it's like the worst. And, you know, a lot of people just throw that around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people always say, oh, the worst movie I ever saw was, you know, something that wasn't that bad.
Zombievers.
Yeah, which is actually supposed, or Velocipastor, we've heard a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not that bad. It's actually supposed to be. It's mocking that whole genre of the cheap, you know, straight to video or sci-fi channel.
Yeah.
And what I love here is that Ken just gave us four instantly, and I've never heard of... Well, I have heard of one of them. The other three I had never heard of. And we're doing the first one we actually have heard of, but we somehow have never got around to watching it, which is really crazy. So let me just say this. Today we are talking about a movie that's tagline... Oh, you know what? We didn't even say that. We didn't even set it up.
I made a mention of I'm not drinking bong water.
No, but
so you would say the name of the movie.
No, I wanted to do that. That's what I'm doing now. But what we didn't do is we're talking trash.
Oh yeah, we're talking trash.
we're really behind on this one.
Talking trash.
Talking trash.
We have not been smoking weed.
It feels like we have. For people who don't know, this is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated. Oh, the much debated. Jesus, I said that so quick. I just merged words. The much debated and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, what is the worst movie ever made? Right, Joe?
Right.
And today we're talking about a movie that's tagline is, dude, it's one scary trip. We are talking about 2006's Evil Bong. Yeah, it's a full moon night. Charles Band night.
Oh, God. You know, Charles Band, he's directed 91 films.
There you go.
And
And this is one of them. This is
one of them. Yeah, they seem to be getting progressively crazier as we go along.
Yeah, as the cheaper they get, the crazier they get. This was directed by Charles Band, of course. It was written by Dominic Meir, who under the pen name August White. He was the writer of Critters and Ginger Dead Man.
Mm-hmm.
This was based off a story by Charles Band. This has a 3.9 out of 10 on IMDb from 3,656 reviewers on IMDb. Now, my first question to you, Joe, is, we're playing question time.
Oh, okay, good.
You ready for some questions?
Yes, sir.
Stop looking online. I don't know what it is that you're researching. Don't look.
Okay.
Don't look.
You just mind your business, that's all. Mind your business.
we got to have you straight up. We got to have you focused. Without any information.
Okay, I'm focused. Let's go.
First question is to you.
Yes.
How many evil Bong films have there been?
Oh my God. The fact that there's more than one is shocking enough.
Yes, yes.
Is there more than two?
Oh, yes.
Is there more than four?
Oh, yes.
Oh my God. All right, let's go with the magic number 7. 7 evil Bong movies?
10.
Shut up.
Okay, so, jeez. 10 movies.
It's not with these same people. Every time it's different people.
I think some of these people come up. I'll come back a lot.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, my next question to you is, can you guess any of these titles? So we have Evil Bong out of the way. We have the first one.
Okay.
I want to say Eagle every time I'm saying this. Evil Bong.
Okay. All right. Evil Bong 2, Dirty Bong Water.
That would be actually kind of smart, I would think. But it's not. It's King Bong.
King Bong. Okay. So
moving up to 3.
I still like Dirty Bong Water.
I do too. I can't believe there's no Dirty Bong Water in here.
Okay. Evil Bong 3, Bongs and Bimbos. Because that's all that was here.
You have to think about what sequel names are like.
Oh my God.
But yeah, no, let's just tell you.
It's not Andy Sedaris. I can't say Bimbos.
Evil Bong 3D.
Oh God.
The Wrath of Bong.
Oh God.
The Wrath of Bong. So we're going on to 4.
Okay, I can't do it anymore.
You definitely can. This should be easy.
Okay. Oh, easy.
This one?
Come
on now. Come on now. Come on, Nat.
Okay, Deadly Bong.
Oh my four. Gosh.
The
What is the theme?
Oh. We already had King Bong.
This is the fourth movie. What's the theme of this franchise?
Ping Bong?
Oh my goodness. Oh my God. I thought you would just get that so easy.
I mean, what is it? Hold on, give me a gosh dang second.
You're not thinking about what the franchise is about. All right, let's just tell. I'll tell you.
Killer Bong Rips? I don't know.
420.
Oh, come on.
Evil Bong 5. High 5.
I can guess Evil Bong 6. Is Evil Bong 6 Cheech and Bong?
No. That I wish. That would be incredible.
I nailed it.
Evil Bong 666.
Listen to this, Charles Band.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't even know how they're going to explain. Well, we'll get that. We'll get into that later. But yeah, Cheech and Bong would be amazing.
Cheech and Bong, I love it.
Evil Bong 777.
I don't
that's
understand.
Lazy. That was lazy. Evil Bong 888.
Wait, does that mean that Evil Bong 777 takes place in Vegas? Because you know, like the slot machines.
No, because I think 6 is called 666. So I'm thinking 777 is God.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. But then it's Evil Bong 888 Infinity High.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so now this is where it turns into something else. Because in these movies, for some reason, they're numbered 5 and 6. Although 4 isn't actually 4. And 5 isn't actually 5. There is movies in between there. But I put them at 9 because they do say Evil Bong 4 and Evil Bong 5. So, Ginger Dead Man versus Evil Bong.
Well, Ginger Dead Man came out before this, correct?
Yeah.
So, okay, that makes sense. All right.
Yeah, so Ginger Dead Man versus Evil Bong, and then 10, Ginger Weed Man. And then there was also a 2022 documentary special on the series of movies called Bad to the Bong, 16 Years of EB.
Oh my God.
Can you believe this is a thing that we're talking about right now?
Okay, no, because just the idea that even one happened is shocking enough.
I mean, there is no budget here.
So but is it just going to be more of the same?
I can't. I mean, I feel like we have to see them sooner or later, but yeah, I just kind of like, I'm shocked by it. And you're like, no.
No.
We did the Toxic Avenger. I should have sprung this box set on you. This is what we're watching.
Oh, if you buy all 10 of these, I have to leave, okay? Because we are not spending money on that shit. We are not.
I'm sure he would give it to us for free. I mean, honestly, Charles Band, he gave us the Puppet Master collection for free, just for streaming. That was weird. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. I'm looking right at it. Yeah. Behind your head.
There's like 30 of those movies, too.
I know, but they're interesting and fun.
You know, who would know? Who knew that this movie would be the springboard for the Full Moon cinematic universe, Joe? Because in this movie, we have many, many cameos from Charles Band films, which is really strange. So these are some of the people that show up in this film for absolutely no reason. We have Ginger Dead Man. He shows up. We have Jack Attack from Demonic Toys shows up. We have Jack Death from Trancers. That was the actor you asked me about.
Yeah, I recognized him.
We've seen all four Trancers films, and we actually kind of enjoyed them.
We did.
We have Ivan from the Descendant of Evil. That's actually Phil Fondacarlo. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He was the actor that showed up. He was in Ghoulies 2 and Willow.
Mm-hmm.
He plays a character from that movie. He showed up in this movie as that character. There, this the delivery man. That's Rabbit from Trancers 2, and he takes over this franchise, apparently. At some point, he becomes like a main focus. The old man that was the UPS guy? Yeah, that guy.
All right.
Yeah. There's Quinn from Crash and Burn. There's also actress Robin Sidney, who is every character in this universe, like the lead in Ginger Dead Man. She plays Sarah Lee. You get
it? Yes, yeah. I do get it. Yes, and she's also married to Charles
Band. She's Luna in this franchise, and she's Kendra from the three Barbie and Kendra films that they filmed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, in fact, we were right next to her while they were filming a movie at the Joe Bob Jamboree that we went to called Kendra and Barbie and Kendra Go to Joe Bob's Jamboree. That's a movie that happened. And there's also Ooga Booga. That character is from next week's movie. Yeah. Ooga Booga. You should remember that one. That's the little burnt looking totem guy that was smoking a joint and jerking off for no reason in this movie.
He looked like a burnt like Living Dead doll.
He did. He looked like a matchstick. So bad. Okay. Yeah. You know what? A burnt Living Dead doll is the best. It's like someone went to Hot Topic, got the markdown one and set it on fire.
Yeah. That's
and
what they
shook him around.
It looked like he looked like the Trilogy of Terror, you know,
which is what he's based on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But someone just did him wrong.
Want to hear something crazy? I guess we could talk about that later, but that character, apparently in the next week's movie, he's in there. And then apparently he has his own spinoff movie called Ooga Booga, and Karen Black is actually in it.
Oh my God, stop.
Because they based him on Trilogy of Terror's Zuni doll.
Well,
so they actually got the actress from Trilogy of Terror to be in that movie. So, yeah. Let's talk about this piece of shit that we watched today.
How dare you? Yeah, it's a masterpiece. You're not even speaking about Charles Band in that negative way.
Let me just say this. Can you agree with me here that what we had set up in the opening here is that we get told to watch a lot of movies that people think are bad, and then we watch them and go, it's not that bad. This is one of those rare times where I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, and again, I'm going to give it more of a pass, but it is also the laziest damn thing we've watched in a while.
It's pretty lazy, yeah. It's Viking virtually, Ken, I want to know if you actually watched this movie.
He said this is one of the worst movies I've ever watched. So
he actually seen it. He didn't just...
That's what he told me.
He didn't just hear of it and been like, oh, okay, Joe and Scott, you need to do this.
Here's how I know he definitely watches Charles Band films, because he gave us another one for next week.
All right.
So this is somebody who watches crap so, like we do and gets it.
I knew that we liked Ken.
Yeah, I see it. Like, he gets us.
He gets us.
So, okay. This movie is very easy, and this is going to be a short episode, because let's face facts, not much really happens here. And I would say that the movie takes place in one location, which is a fake sitcom set.
It is a sitcom.
It's just a room.
I feel like
that's on a set.
Yeah.
This is like they built a fake room in a warehouse. It's so lazy that we don't even have bedrooms. We're told that this is some kind of apartment, not a loft, and there are no rooms. There's a kitchen in the background, a living room, and then a door that leads to an apparent bathroom. But the reason I'm doing air quotes that you guys can't see is because when they open that door, you can see air conditioner piping. So, and then when they open their front door, you can see that it's a closet.
Oh my God.
There's actually religious candles on a shelf in the hallway to the front of their door.
Well, okay. Do you think this is like slasher size, where they just rented like an office building at night?
No. I think that wherever Charles Band films, I'm thinking it's like he owns like
maybe like a warehouse.
He owns like his own place, like his office. But his office is probably like in an industrial park. You know when you go to a brewery and they always build them in that industrial area?
Sure. Yeah.
And then they basically just... He probably owns one of those places that has a little spot that he converted the one little spot into a fake room, and they built a fake set.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. I didn't see the walls move, but also you don't see windows.
No, that's why I was wondering if it was like one of those office building places that, you know, they rented out, because there's no windows. Like, it's like a storage unit or something.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think. But here's the craziest part. There are two different kinds of camera shots going on in this movie. So we noticed this very quickly. When it started, I kept thinking, well, first off, it starts with the longest marijuana screensaver that you had on your computer in the 1990s.
1997. Yeah,
just a terrible screensaver of marijuana leaves flying around.
It just seems so amateurish. Like, like the scene that cuts in, like when you're watching a sitcom and there's like a scene that transitions you into the next scene.
Yeah, like that 30s, that 70s show where they did that transition.
Yeah, it's that with pot leaves.
That's this movie, is literally that 70s show.
Yeah.
It's just a really, really poor version of it. But what's crazy, when the movie finally does start and we start meeting our characters, I guess it's filmed, and I went, wow, this actually looks like a movie. I was expecting like a really cheesy home video.
I was too, and we've seen a lot of those
cheesy
shot kind of things. But it's still, even though it was crisp and clean for 2006 and a small budget, I still felt like I was watching a sitcom. Like, there was supposed to be a laugh track.
Well, yeah, I will say that that's why I was saying the two different cameras, because there's one shots that are really well done that actually looks like a real movie with real lighting and everything. Then you get the sitcom shots.
Mm-hmm.
So like at one point, I think it's the first time it starts is when a guy brings his girlfriend home. And then when they come in the front door, it looks like that 70s show where like they walked into the basement or they walked into the front door, and then it's shot with this with the oversaturation lights, like on a set. And that's the moment where like, that's a laugh track spot. That's where everybody applauds for the girls to show up.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
That's what it felt like. And I was like, man, that's really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't feel like a real movie. And when it goes that, it feels like this is a joke now.
Yeah.
Especially when the transitions of the marijuana thing comes in.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Now, we start meeting our characters. The first character we meet is like a dorky guy who looks like he walked out of Revenge of the Nerds. And the characters even mention it.
Yeah, he looks like Skolnick from Revenge of the Nerds. His name's Alistair. And he's the ultimate cliche. Every single one of these people that live in this apartment is a cliche.
It's a weird cliche.
Every one of them. And I think that was the whole part of, like, Charles Band wanted to do that. I think that was just for shits and giggles on his part, you know? But every single one of these people, we meet this guy who's looking for a place to live. Now, I'll tell you this. You walk into this apartment, in air quotes, and you meet, what's his name? Lanner? Something weird.
Dude, just give it up, Lorna. She is so not into you.
What, is she mute or something? She can't talk for herself? I know it's a radical concept.
Whatever. Sorry, Larnell, I'm not interested.
Anyway, these people that live in this apartment, there's three other people that live in this apartment. Now, there's only one bedroom here and a kitchen.
Yeah.
That's it. So everyone sleeps on a filthy mattress on the floor.
Larnell.
What the fuck is this name? Anyway, Larnell. He's, I guess, the main guy of the three of them. And they're all the same person. One's like a surfer stoner.
It's because there's the three cliches. You have the Ryan Reynolds, you know, Van Wilder version.
Yeah, the sports stoner.
So he's the stoner. That's the other guy. That's the sports stoner.
Yeah, he's the sports stoner.
And then you have the surfer stoner. So you have the intellectual stoner. The one that has the smart mouth.
Yes.
And then you have the two other guys, the jock and the surfer.
Yeah, and they're all a bunch of mimbos. It doesn't matter. They don't have any common sense whatsoever. So they're all basically the same person with, you know, just a different spin on them. So this nerdy guy, he has nowhere to live. So he chooses to live with these guys on a dirty mattress for $40 a week.
He's going to college. I guess this is a college town, apparently.
I don't know
if the other three are going... anything. I don't know what they're doing, but he's going to college and he needs a cheap place to stay, and it's $30.
And $40. $40?
Yes, I thought it was $30.
I'm telling you what, okay? You can literally live in a back alley for free and it would be cleaner than this apartment.
Yeah, but things really go his way, hon.
Oh, Jesus.
That $40 does go a long way in this movie.
Does it, though? I guess it does.
I mean, Alistair.
He does get to sleep on a nice dirty mattress on the floor.
Alistair definitely hits above his weight, is what I'm going to say in this movie.
That's kind of not nice.
I'm being honest.
What do you mean?
Here.
Are you trying to say that the nerdy guy can't get the girl?
This guy in particular. I mean, they're going out of their way to really make him look like crap.
They are. I mean, if you fix up his hair a little bit, he's not, you know, he's a decent dude. I mean, aside from his dorky demeanor, I guess. And this guy's not a nerd. He's an out and out dork. He's just a straight up dork. He can be cool if he tries. So he gets picked on a little bit by the other three guys. And all they do is sit around, play video games, and smoke weed. That's like quite literally the whole entire existence of these three people, except one of them, who is the sports stoner. He has a girlfriend.
Yeah. We of course we get all those things too, by the way. We get all those terrible things where you know, he's trying to study and they're all making noise, and we get all that introduction. What I also have to point out too is the sports guy goes out of his way to kind of like talk about how he's like really into sports and like doing things with, like, he's got some awards,
baseball trophies,
and he's like obsessed with it. But then you think, oh, this is his character and it's going to go somewhere.
No. Nope.
They actually never act like that's a thing. He just becomes another one of the guys.
They're literally same guy.
I would say that one guy, whatever the hell his name is, the one, Larnell, I think that he kind of stands out from the whole bunch. But the two other guys, the one guy, the surfer, just is always laying down stoned. He doesn't do anything. He really doesn't have anything going on.
It's like, okay, are you even going to classes? Like, nobody ever does anything that they're set up to do in this. It's like, are you college kids? What's going on here? What is going on?
But like you said, that he finally brings his girlfriend home. And that is the actress we were just talking about playing Kendra and all that kind of stuff. And Charles Band's wife now. She shows up in like a cheerleading outfit. And she also has brought a friend. Which is, these two, again, is one of those other cliches where they don't seem like they would be friends at all.
I don't know.
Because she's apparently the friend is intelligent.
Yeah. You're trying to say that the one character...
Well, the other one is...
Well, she's a cheerleader.
Out of her mind. She's not a cheerleader.
She's not a cheerleader.
Because Alistair goes up and goes, oh, you must be a cheerleader. And she goes, why do you think that?
Well, she's
and
okay.
And then he goes, well, your outfit would be the indicator. And she goes, no, it just gets guys horny.
She's okay. So she's just wearing that cheerleader costume. She's just wearing it.
That's it.
Okay.
That she's just wearing it.
Oh, jeez.
And then this other one that's actually a psychology major is hanging out with her.
Yeah, I don't think so. This girl has half a brain cell in her skull and you're hanging out with her. I don't think so.
It's and there's a scene later on where she goes crazy. And we were just staring like, what is happening in this sequence?
I don't know what the actress was doing.
I have no idea. It's not funny. It was really weird. Like, just what the hell is happening?
Let's just assume that Charles Band was like, okay, go as crazy as you want to go. Yeah.
And we knew it was a problem when she brought a pogo stick with her into the sequence. And we kept going, what is she always having a pogo stick for?
Yeah.
And then it just, when she just starts pogo sticking... And I guess the joke is that, is that what you say, pogo sticking? What do you call it?
I mean,
do you have a name for this?
Is
it pogoing?
I would say
jumping.
Jumping?
I don't think that's when you're on a pogo stick. Okay, you can't just be jumping. Am I
pogoing?
Correct? I said pogoing is an option here.
You said pogo sticking.
Pogo sticking. Or
sounds
pogoing.
Like a sexual pose.
Well, hey. What happens in the scene is exactly that. Her orgasming and freaking out while pogoing.
Okay, first of all, that does not happen until the middle of the movie.
I just wanted to point it out because we'll probably forget about it by the time we get there.
Okay, so we meet these two girls. They steal all their weed and then they leave, right? So in the next scene...
We didn't even set up that they ordered a bong from...
No, that's what I'm telling you. So the next scene, they open the freaking door and they don't even know why there's a delivery guy at the door. They forgot. That's how freaking stoned they all are.
Yeah,
right?
But they read an ad in the newspaper, it looks like, you know, the back of one of those old comic books we used to have where they had those cheap ads?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot of people might not know that that was a thing, but that was a really cool thing. When we were kids, we were always kind of staring at it, like, mm-hmm. I want those X-ray specs. I want all that kind of crap. And it's like they found a wanted ad, or like some kind of sales ad in the back of this thing, but it's a magazine. And I was like... Is that the local magazine? What is this, right? But then they read the article and it says, the sales ad or whatever the hell it is. They're like selling a bong. First off, they're selling a bong on, like, for everybody can see.
In a want ad. So, okay, can we just first say that this is the most ridiculous, ridiculous ad of all time? Because number one, they make a point to say that this bong is from a seller in New Orleans.
Yes.
Where like voodoo and shit happens.
Yes. And it says,
and it might be possessed.
Might be possessed.
With Al's rent, I finally got enough to buy this.
Large bong for sale. Originally purchased in the 1960s in New Orleans. Recently deceased owner claims it was possessed.
It's wicked.
Whoa.
Haunted bong. It's guaranteed to give amazing highs, bro.
Seller not responsible for possible bad side effects.
We gotta have it. We gotta have it.
And they're like, the guy's like, we need this in our life.
Now let me ask you, who the hell is selling a possessed bong? Say this is a real thing, okay?
Yeah.
Say that the bong is really possessed and this person knows it is.
Yeah.
This thing could like kill somebody else and you're selling it?
Yeah.
Instead of burying it deep into the earth.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's amazing.
We actually find out who's selling it and why later on. And they tell us a couple times, which is weird.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, so the guy's like, we need this bong in our lives. So it finally does show up. And I was already mentioning an actor shows up who is a I'm a later aged gentleman as a UPS driver who is just off-putting as all hell.
Yeah, he's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But he's a delivery driver. He's just a cameo.
He says he makes $20 a week.
No, $200 a week.
Oh, $200.
He said he's professional.
He doesn't want to lose his job, so he didn't open the box.
Because he brings the fucking box, and the guys are like, what is in there? Like, I didn't open it. I'm professional. I make over $200 a week. So they are so stoned, they forgot that they ordered this thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, they open the box. This bong... How many feet tall would you say this thing is?
It's like half a person, right? It's like a good 3 feet.
I would say it's, yeah. I mean, it's huge. It's one of those, like, what do you call them? Hookahs?
So, okay, this is the conversation. This movie's called Evil Bong, but this is clearly a hookah.
This is not a bong. I mean, I heard, I don't know from personal experience, that you have to put water in a bong.
You have to put water in both. I believe it's still the same kind of thing. A hookah has hoses.
Yeah, they immediately just start smoking out of this thing. No one puts anything in it.
They didn't even clean it. Yeah. They didn't put water in it.
They just start smoking off the. Yeah, it's just gross.
And absolutely it works gross. Fine.
So it's this big blue, like 4-footer hookah.
A bong. If look, we're both admitting we've done our amount of smoking pot.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And well, whatever. I'm not a clean. When you smoke a bong, you hit the top.
Yes, but this thing is like 5 feet tall.
But that's what I'm saying. They're not hitting the top. Why is this called Evil Bong?
No, I know, right? It's not a bong at
all. It's not. When you use hoses, you're not hitting a bong. You're smoking a hookah.
Yeah, it's like what the Cheshire Cat has. He has the little hose thing. So.
Well, they say water pipe.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know.
But there's no fucking water in it.
There's no water in it, and it works fine. It works really good. And it is
really good, actually.
And by the way, I will say that the first instinct that this one character has that bought the pipe in the first place, Larnell, he says it looks like a hot woman.
Okay. He said, oh, look at the tits and the vagina.
What? He didn't even say, did he say vagina? He said, like,
vag.
Your vag.
I'm just like, okay. I got nothing. So I'm like expecting there's going to be some sort of there's got to be some kind of perverse, scummy shit about to happen, just perverted stuff. Right. Because immediately when he made that comment, I'm like, okay. So something.
Well, so, he's for some reason horny for the bong instantly.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can see. When you look at this thing, and they're never referencing that they can see it, there is clearly a face that's been painted over.
Yes.
And that's a thing that it the more people use it, the more the face comes out of it.
Yes, because it's possessed and it needs souls.
Yes. It doesn't even, I don't even know if it takes, we were going
to
talk about it.
What's impressive to me about this instrument is that the main guy, what's his name, Larnie? What's
it? Larnell.
Larnell. He doesn't even Larnie. Take it. This thing arrives, right? And it's like he's marveling at it. But he's smoking a joint. He's not even taking a hit off the bong. But Bachman, the surfer stoner, takes a hit off of it.
They all do, but they say they ran out of, they don't have any more pot. And then my favorite part is when he goes, let's take another hit. This thing's amazing. They go, oh, we don't have any more weed. And then he starts smoking a joint. And I was like, well, I don't know about anybody else here, but I think I found the weed.
I feel like all these actors were legitimately stoned during the making of this. I mean, how could you not be? Could you not be?
So I guess while in that, and just to point it out, cutscene, we have the leaves flying at the screen. And I don't know how Charles Band got some music, but he actually has a real soundtrack on this film.
Yeah, he does.
There's actual real bands that we know doing music for this movie, which is really crazy.
Do you have to pay for, like, is it like a public domain thing? Maybe he can just take it.
No, they actually released this as an actual... This is odd. It never happens. It's usually only movies that get released in the theater get a soundtrack.
Right.
Like, released. Uh-huh. But this movie actually got a soundtrack released.
Oh, wow. Do the other 9 movies have soundtracks also?
Oh, I didn't even... Do you think I'm going to look into the other 9 movies that deeply? I mean, it's your
job. You know, you got to look into this stuff.
I only looked into a couple things. I don't know much. But I didn't want to spoil them for me, Joe.
Oh, God,
you. I don't want them spoiled for me.
Spoil? Really? I can tell you it's the same. It's a goddamn same situation that we had in this.
Yeah, I hope they figure out that they can do more things with the bong. But what happens is, I guess the surfer guy gets more weed. And he smokes it on his own, and he, like, really hits it hard, and he passes out. And so...
You can see his essence coming out of his body.
And it goes into the bong.
It goes into the bong. I'm like, oh my God, his life force is being drained by the bongs. I thought that was like, okay. I'm thinking, that's cool, you know, because then this thing's going to come alive and, like, start talking, you know? I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be, like, really possessed. Well, then we see him in his dream sequence.
Well, it's the bong world.
The bong world.
You go into the bong world. When you fly into the bong itself, you're going into its world.
Which is just a bunch of fucking strippers. With huge, beautiful knockers, I might say.
Yeah.
Really nice.
They shoot one in particular for a very long time.
Yeah, this is not the, you know, trauma... kind of strippers.
That's true. That's
These true. Are strippers that he actually had to compensate to be there, you know?
Maybe.
That actually probably have prominent careers.
I was thinking that they were all either in a relationship with somebody on the set. That's what I kept thinking.
I mean,
about.
there's 4 of them. That's kind of one too many to have a relationship with someone on the set, you know?
Yeah, whoever the producers are.
I feel like Charles Band maybe had some friends that knew some people.
Oh, yeah. You know? His future wife. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, what was she, 21 when she made this movie? Well, not even.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like
my point exactly.
40-year age difference. No
whatever.
Joke. But whatever. So, yeah. So the dream sequence is this strip club. And I guess I would expect it to be like a little more savage. Because,
well, no, it seems to be like they're lured into their fantasy.
But why? Like,
I don't know. It wants what it seems the goal is to lure these people into smoke. Then they get put into a fantasy world where they get murdered. And so the thing can keep its soul.
But it already sucked out his life force.
So
I don't understand.
Look, Joe, I don't understand
What's
any of
What's the reasoning
this?
Of rewarding him for sucking out his life source? Is that what you're doing? You're
they already sucked the life source out.
Like
and
some
then,
boobies?
Yeah, and then like his fantasy is to go to a strip club?
I don't get it.
I know. So, you think his fantasy would be to be surfing like a wave
or
have like a Freddy Krueger scenario where Freddy does some crazy dream stuff and kills you in the dream world to keep your soul.
Yeah. So I'm like expecting... Like, okay, maybe this is this one guy's, like, fantasy. Okay, fine. That's cool. You know, like, beautiful women, naked, fine. Okay, get it.
Yeah, the soul shouldn't fly out of the people until they get killed.
Right. So...
The marijuana that they smoke through it should already put them into a sleep, and then they can do it like a dream scenario.
Yeah. But, like, so the other 3 guys... Find him. Well, he's dead.
We didn't talk about any of that. So in the dream world, a stripper is his fantasy. He actually gets greeted by 2 of the characters we mentioned before, one of which was that doll that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, wow, dude, what's up, little man? Right. And he's just like, you know, he's just a typical surfer stoner in movies.
Hey, little dude. Looks like you're having fun.
And one of the strippers comes over to him and introduces her bra to him, which happens to be 2 skulls, 2 plastic skulls.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
And
which makes none of this makes any sense.
He's like, whoa, that's kinky. And then the skulls on her bra bite his neck out.
And he's dead.
While that's happening, the one doll has a joint and is jerking off to it.
I'm sorry, I could not help but laugh.
We were laughing heavily during that.
I was laughing because I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. First of all, it was funny looking. It was really funny looking to watch that. It was just shaking back and forth. It was just shaking violently back and forth. But, no, go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, I was just going to say, and to mention, the one actor we talked about from Willow and everything, he walks in and basically tries to warn him to stay away from the strippers because he knows evil, which is, I guess, a reference from his movie that he's in. And he should stay clear. So in the Bong world, other Charles Band characters are trying to warn characters not to die in their fantasy.
Yes, but
how is this the Bong world then?
That's what I don't understand. It's sucking his essence into the Bong and giving him a fantasy
to kill him to get his soul.
Well, how is getting killed a fantasy? And
no, the fantasy is to lure them into seduction.
Yes, but they already sucked out his soul.
Again, you got to stop looking at it like that. It's. I think we're watching him going into the Bong world, like the dream world.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe we're analyzing
this. It's baffling. I really don't understand the concept of the movie. I don't understand what it's doing. I don't know what its powers are. Well, I don't really understand any of it.
So he's dead in the dream world, which means it's like Freddy. So he's dead in real life. So
he's supposedly dead in real life. He's just laying on the couch dead.
The other three clowns, they find him and they don't even call the police. They hide his fucking body because the best scene in the movie happens right here.
Yes.
Where Grandpa shows up.
For no reason whatsoever, the Larny, whatever the hell his name is, Blarney Stone, his grandfather shows up in a wheelchair, rolls in, and has some of the best dialogue you've ever heard in your life.
The best dialogue.
Hey, Gramps. What a cool surprise.
Hey, Si, it's great to see you.
Ah, shut up, you pathetic louts. Moronic pricks. Miscreants, all of you. Where's the other one? The surfer.
Bachman? Oh, he just up and moved out, you know, kind of a drag.
Yeah.
Moved out, did he? Well, good riddance is what I say. Just an utter waste of human skin. About as much use as a soiled tampon. Who's this? You're new here.
Alistair McDowell, sir. It's a pleasure to meet you.
You seem different than the others. Clean cut. Well-mannered. Marked improvement.
Yeah, Al's really great, Grandpa. Even helps me with my studies and all.
Ha! That's a wasted cause if ever there was one. Got a mind like a urinal cake.
So he, bottom line is he shows up for no other reason but to set up a joke, which is the silliest thing. But he shows up to tell Larnell he has a new grandmother, right? And because his grandfather is super rich and whatever, Larnell automatically says, oh, is it a young, you know, big boobed girl that I can bang on the side, right? And so he's like, you know, egging them on, like, oh yeah, might be, right? And then the grandmother walks in and she's literally 180 years old with a cane.
Yeah.
And
she goes right to sleep on the couch.
She goes right to sleep on the couch. It was the funniest joke. And all the grandfather is doing the whole time is just insulting them, calling them cocksuckers, calling them all sorts of names. And it made me laugh.
Oh, it's the best part.
You know, I was hoping you'd hook up with some big-titted bimbo that I could bang on the side.
You disgusting pervert! Oh, I only hope that one day, convicts will feast upon your scrotum sack.
You know, bro, I was just kidding around. You don't gotta come at me like that, Grandpa.
Is your mind perpetually in the gutter? You useless, vulgar douchebag. This is your new grandmother we're talking about. Not some two-bit loose floozy for you to defile with your nasty little penis. No good, worthless enema bag.
So, Si,
it's literally the best part.
It has no relevance to the movie.
None.
Whatsoever.
None.
And it's bizarre that they did it, because you think that maybe they just made more you know, fodder characters.
Yeah,
more
yeah.
characters to die in this universe. But these characters mean nothing, and they don't do anything. It doesn't matter that these characters have backstories, because we find out that Larnell's life kind of sucks, and that's why he is what he is. Like, his family treats him like crap.
Yeah.
And his grandfather's constantly downing him. So you're wondering, oh, this is going to mean something. And Larnell's going to have a big breakthrough and he's going to save the day and maybe become a better character. Mm-hmm. You know? No, doesn't matter. Because in a shocking twist, Larnell is the next one to smoke the pipe by himself. And I was like, oh, I thought he was going to be the main guy since we're getting so much backstory.
No, we knew that the nerd was going to be the guy.
Well, you knew the nerd was going to be a thing, but I thought Larnell and him were going to be like, you know, the two heroes of the story.
Hmm.
I didn't expect the jock to stay in it longer. So then Larnell goes and smokes because they have to clean up and they hide the body of the guy. They throw him downstairs in the basement under trash.
Which is amazing to me. It's like, honestly, I guess nobody would be looking for him.
No.
He's just a stoner. But here's the part that amazes me. And I was like disappointed because he gets sucked. His life force gets sucked in the bong also. Okay. Now we can see that the bong has changed after Bachman got killed. So it's now got like a more prominent looking face on it. And I was like, oh, those eyes are going to open. I know it. But anyway, so Larnell gets sucked into the bong. And
I give you credit for remembering Bachman, by the way. We didn't mention his name, but I love that. I remember. That's the only one that
I. Yeah, I remember the surfer stoner. His name is Bachman. But I was expecting that the scene would change. Like, his fantasy would be something else. But no, they're back at the same strip club with the same four naked women.
Yep. But
dancing the same.
This time, it's the different stripper is the one that goes to him.
Yeah, so he gets a different stripper.
Each one gets a different stripper.
With a different bra, and
he gets another warning from other characters.
Yeah.
From the universe.
Bill Moseley just shows up that's for later. No reason. Yeah, and who later. Else shows up? It's ridiculous. So, so he gets killed in that bong world again. The same, another one. And nobody, I mean, I would expect it to change. Like, I just wanted his fantasy to change. But no, they only had two sets.
And
so,
can we point this out? The first guy gets killed because skulls bite his neck on her bra. The second guy has sharks.
Sharks on the bra.
But now, wouldn't it be the surfer would make more sense to have the sharks?
Yeah.
And then, I love this, that he just starts tickling the mouth of the shark and it eats his hands off.
Why pay attention to detail? Anyway, it doesn't even matter what happens in these scenes. And, you know, I'm just saying, because all you're doing is looking at tits. I mean, they're just like right there in your face. You can't stop staring at them.
Yeah. Well,
it's true.
By the way, before Larnell dies, I want to point this out. This is why I wanted to talk about it. Before he gets killed by the shark bra, whatever the hell is going on there, he talks to the bong. And he goes, I knew it. I knew you're a woman. And the bong's like talking. By the way, we should talk about the bong in the dream world. It doesn't move. It moves its eyes a little bit, but its mouth can only kind of wiggle.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like it's talking.
Well, when she does talk, it's like, I guess, emanating telekinetically, I guess.
I think it's supposed to be talking with her mouth moving.
But the mouth isn't moving.
Properly.
But that's where they should have arranged the budget a little better and made this bong look a little bit better. And I'm sure as they go along in,
I doubt it. I'm sure it's going to get worse like Puppet Master did.
I mean, I would imagine it would get better. I am hopeful it's going to get better.
I can't imagine it. I can't imagine.
Like, the mouth is never going to move.
Man looks awful.
Oh God. Yeah, it's true.
So I was just going to point this out. She also sounds like like the Audrey too.
Yes, I was thinking about that too.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yeah,
which I kind of enjoyed that voice coming out of the bong and being like, come on, baby, come on and get it.
You know,
like, I think that's a lot of fun. I thought that was kind of silly fun.
I like the voice on the bong.
Especially since she says funny stuff.
She does.
Hey, hot stuff. Welcome, Lana. We have everything here that you would desire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah? Then how about we change up these tunes? I want to hear some rock and fucking roll!
Ooh, I love it when you talk that way. Rock it, baby! Rock it!
Larnell, though, here's one of the weird parts. he comes in here and he's like, oh, cool, I'm in a strip club. And he actually sees the surfer. And the surfer's like, hey, man, you're going to have a lot of fun here. It's awesome. And he's like, you died, man.
Yeah, but
he's like, I'm not dead. I'm having the best time of my life.
But he died in there again.
So he doesn't. Yeah, he died in there. But why is he acting like he didn't? Or is this a part of the fantasy? I don't know.
Oh, my God. I don't
because
know.
Because what also happens, and this is another weird moment. Now, it's supposed to be his fantasy. But instead, his grandfather wheels in here and starts yelling at him. And he's like, oh, screw you, old man. And then he has the bouncer throw the old man in the wheelchair, just tosses him out. And he's like, yeah, now it's a real fantasy.
Does that mean that grandpa died in real life?
No, I think this his real fantasy was to get revenge on his grandfather. But
then
instead
why
not.
Why does it have to be at the same strip club? Why,
yeah, why is it the strip? Because that's all they can afford.
I mean,
and again, this is just their warehouse, I think. I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, they had spent money to put in those stripper poles. Those weren't cheap.
I'm sure that was just a thing in Charles Band's office.
He probably has that in his
house. I'm sure he does.
Yeah. But I'm just
So, yeah, I mean, they throw his grandfather out, and then he gets killed by the shark bra. And then he's dead on the couch. Now, the whole point was the reason they hid the body is because the girls were going to come over. Now, we're told that they're supposed to be throwing a party, and they got to clean up their place. Now, they didn't clean up the place the last time the women came over.
No.
So now at this time is some kind of special occasion. I don't know.
It looks like a completely different place.
Yeah, it does. When they say they cleaned it, it looks completely immaculate now.
It's not even the same place.
They're going to have a huge party.
And it's just
four of them.
Four people. Mm-hmm.
And then they play Trivial Pursuit while their friend, they don't know, is passed out on the couch, is dead.
Yeah.
The jock and his girlfriend play against the nerd and the other blonde girl, which is a nerd as well. Apparently, they're smart. That's all they got to know. And he's like, I guess, being overly romantic to the girl by, you know, trying to swoo her. I guess, but it's like
trying to what? Swoon her?
Sway?
Woo?
Woo? Sorry, jeez.
I like swoo.
I'm going to cut that out.
No, you're not.
I'll swoo you in a minute.
I'll swoo you. You better hope I don't get enough shark bra. So they're playing Trivial Pursuit, and the two nerds win. But they take a hit off the bong. The only one that doesn't is Alistair, who's the nerdy guy. He doesn't take a hit off the bong. So here's the most crazy scene of all time. I don't understand what the motivation was, but I just thought that when you take a hit off the bong, you sit on the couch and you just go bleh, and you just, you know, pass out.
Which is what the jock does. His name is Brett. He just sits down on the couch and passes out. While he's trying to pass out, she's trying to have sex with him in front of their friends.
Yes, but she's pogo sticking.
When she just starts pogo sticking. And I guess the joke is that, is that what you say, pogo sticking? What do you call it?
I mean,
do you have a name for this?
Is
it pogoing?
I would say
jumping.
Jumping?
I don't think that's when you're on a pogo stick. Okay, you can't just be jumping. Am I
pogoing?
Correct? I said pogoing is
no,
an option
didn't.
Here.
You said pogo sticking.
Pogo sticking. Well, she does everything. She dry humps his leg in the couch arm, and then gets on the pogo stick. She goes, I know what you would like. Will really turn you on. And she pogos.
I mean, she's literally having a full body dry heave.
She goes nuts.
The acting is so over the top. I mean, it's out. It's just terrible.
I think we're supposed to be laughing, but I was only laughing because I had turned down the volume because our neighbors.
Yeah, our neighbors would probably be like, what's going on in that house?
Yeah, all it you was can that hear over is the top. Her like going out an orgasm while screaming, have sex with me.
Yeah.
I know it's going to turn you on. I know it's going to make you so crazy. I know it's going to make you feel like a chocolate sprinkle Häagen-Dazs ice cream.
Yeah.
It sounded like...
It went
like,
on for 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was bad. It sounded like it could be coming from our apartment.
Yeah, it sounded wild.
So, yeah.
So I started laughing and turning down the volume because I was like, what the hell is this?
I don't think she's a very good actress, but I don't think anyone in this movie is a good actor. So.
Well, we're going to give the guy credit who she's doing this to because he has to stay still and not laugh.
Well, I don't know if you happen to notice.
She grabs his crotch multiple times.
She grabs his crotch and I think she took him off guard and he had to actually cover his balls because he almost got his balls hit pretty hard. And I was like, oh my God, this girl, she's going too rough. She finally passes out. They finally pass out. They get their souls sucked into the bong.
And they see it. The nerds see it.
They see it, yeah.
They go, whoa.
Like, what is happening? Now, he's completely sober. He didn't take any hits or anything.
Yeah, and he realizes, oh, it's got a face now.
Yeah, it literally has a full face on it. And so they see the essences going into the bong. And his girl had already taken a hit and they're trying to figure out, okay, what's going on, you know, and she's like, well, how come I haven't gone in there? Like, how come it hasn't happened to me? And what was the reasoning as to why it didn't happen
well,
to her?
Well, right, if she says that, she sits down, she does pass out, and she goes into the bomb.
I thought it was like they had some reasoning as to why.
Oh, they say a bunch of ridiculous mumbo jumbo to explain it.
That doesn't make any sense. It isn't logical.
No, it's not logical. I mean, certainly not in terms of the physical world, it's not. But I believe now we're dealing with worlds beyond the physical.
You mean spiritual, transcendental.
Transcendental, exactly. When Larnell purchased this bong, the ad warned the user against possible bad side effects. But it's obvious, they weren't warning the user against substandard drugs. They were warning the user against this bong.
But I smoked from it, too.
And when the jock and the girl go into the bong world, they also get warned by random characters. And then this is a weird spot. There, he's like, if this is my fantasy, why the hell, if this is my trip, why are you here with her?
Yeah.
And a bouncer comes and grabs her and brings her away because she actually sees a box and she thinks it's makeup for some reason, but it's actually the killer Jack in the Box from Demonic Toys.
Yeah.
And he's like, get her out of here. She's so annoying. And the bouncer takes her away.
Okay. Now again, this is a very disappointing situation because this is a fantasy. This is the bong world, but this is not everybody's fantasy. Like, I get it if you're a guy or whatever, fine. But why would this be her fantasy? It's not, you know?
We don't even know because we literally never see what happens to her after she's taken away.
No, we don't.
What we do see is that he knows the stripper. He used to date her when she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stripper now has a bra with lips on it, and I guess the suggestion is that the lips bite his dick off.
Yeah. So we
and
have,
then that's it, and then he's dead. And
a skull bra, a shark bra, and a lip bra.
Yeah. They're running out of ideas real quick.
Yeah.
We cut back to the girl now passes out, and the guy, Alistair, is trying to figure out, how do I get in there? What do I do? You know, give her back. And then all of a sudden, the door opens up and Tommy Chong shows up.
Whoa, dude. I've been looking all over for you, man. There you are.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Jimbo, man. That's my bong.
It's your bong? I thought the ad said that the owner was deceased.
No, that's my wife, man. She... wishful thinking on her part. No, man.
Well, then perhaps you can explain what's going on here.
It's the bomb, man. It's evil.
Well, if it's dangerous, then why'd you put it up for sale?
I didn't put it up for sale, man. My wife, she sold it, man. I had it in storage. She sold all my shit, man. Sold my Hot Wheels collection. Man, I miss those little cars.
Tommy Chong shows up, and again, best part of the movie.
Yeah.
He's funny, and he is going, doing all Tommy Chong stuff.
I mean, he's just having the time of his life. I mean, I don't really know what they paid him. They probably could have just paid him in freaking
the strippers at the end.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah. But,
he's playing Jimbo Leary.
Jimbo Leary, who, now, he explains...
Multiple times.
This bong belongs to him, and that his wife sold it and didn't tell him that she sold it. Now...
And then he says, because it killed all my friends, dude.
It killed all his friends, but not him, though.
Yeah, almost did. He goes, it almost did, but I survived. And he's like, oh, but the girl got in. How do I get her back? And he goes, oh, if you get sucked into the bong world, you don't come back. You die. And he goes, well, except for me. I came back. But anybody else, everybody else is going to die.
Well.
And he's like, yeah, but how did you come back?
He said he took a series of vitamins. Which
it's
we know
he
is
says
like,
it. He's like, oh yeah, and by the way, I
uppers
did,
or something.
Else,
I don't know how he got out of the dream world.
They don't even tell us.
Why would you even want this back? It's like a murdering bong. But he shows up and he's trying to destroy it.
He wants to destroy it.
So he's got all of these, like he's got a hammer. He's going to try and smash it. All these things.
He makes Alistair takes a hit.
Yes. So Alistair gets sucked back into the.
So he passes out instantly. Goes to the bong world
because he wants to save his girl. So the best thing, though, I'm gonna say that this actually made me feel better a little bit, is because when she goes into this stripper world, in a cage
with a man,
like a male stripper. So I was like, okay, at least that makes some sense. They try to switch it up a bit.
Yeah, but what I don't like is that for some reason she's giggly and out of her mind.
Yeah, she's really crazy, like the other girl was acting. You know?
Yeah, but she didn't act like that in the bong world. She only acted like that in regular world.
True. Yeah. So I don't know. In the bong world, this girl like went nuts.
This bong world.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
She's acting so giggly with the male stripper. Well, Alistair is, and by the way, if you watch this sequence, all the strippers come on Alistair and he's having the guy from Trancer shows up and tells him, hey, this place is crazy. If you find the exit, get the hell out of here. You know, and he walks off. So he kind of is trying to ask the bong, which is EB, is the name of the bong, apparently. EB, and EB's like, you got to give in to your fantasy. So all the strippers come around him. And if you watch this closely, they're grabbing at his junk.
They are. There's a blonde girl. She is on his penis, like big time.
Oh, you poor, pathetic little geek. You have no chance.
Well, we'll just see about that. You accursed narcotic paraphernalia.
Way harsh, baby. If you wish, this can be a very pleasant thing for you, Alistair. Relax, baby. Let it go. Feels good, right?
I shall not.
Come on, baby.
Why the negative vibes, Al?
You got to let yourself go. Come on, old girl. They want you, baby. They want you.
I have never seen anything. Like, she was, like, really rubbing. I was like, wow, okay. Yeah. So they know what to do. So I feel like he hired some professionals from, like, you know, Vegas.
Probably.
Not professionals like Women of the Night, but professional dancers or whatever. So, whatever. I'm just correcting that.
Women of the Night. I like the scenario, though, that... What was the movie we watched not too long ago where I was like, she's mad that she's not getting sex? Oh, it was the Crawlers. When we watched the Crawlers, there was a girl in there, and the little kid said, she's the hooker. Remember?
Yeah.
She was constantly mad because all the guys went to her room with her to have sex, and then they figured out the plan of the movie, and they were like talking about it, and she's like, oh, couldn't you just have sex with me already? And I'm like, isn't it funny? So I've kept thinking Charles Band hired these women, and they were like, can we get something?
Yeah.
I'd like to have something.
Right. So, I mean, they were probably so nicely paid for their time. And they're all very attractive, you know, beautiful bodies and stuff. So they got some nice screen time.
Alistair fights it. And he runs off to save the girl. And the girl is just out of her mind. But he makes her eat those vitamins or whatever the hell they are.
I'm guessing they're uppers.
Yeah, who knows? But in the outside world, while Tommy Chong is trying to kill the bong, which is really funny, he's like taking out chainsaws, he's trying to hammer it, he even has a bomb, but she's like, the bong says, I'm going to pull out the big guns, and starts steaming the whole room up with what Tommy Chong says is the good shit. And she's like, yeah, baby, all the good shit. And he's like, look, I've smoked so much of it that I built up a tolerance. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. So he's like fighting it. But he finally shows up in the bong world because it didn't work.
Right.
And they took all the vitamins to come out. So he doesn't have any.
Right.
So they are able to wake up. And in the bong world, Tommy Chong reveals that he is strapped with a bomb and he somehow brought it to the bong world. And he blows up EB in the bong world.
Yes.
So what happens next is baffling. I was expecting a Nightmare on Elm Street ending.
Yeah.
What happens is that everybody who's died comes back to life.
Everybody, even Bachman, who has been buried under how much rubbish.
He shows up at the front door and goes, man, I was buried under some trash in the basement. And then they're like, yeah, but what about Jimbo? What happened to him? And they're like, well, he must have sacrificed himself and blown up.
First of all, they don't even know who Jimbo is. Only two of them know who Jimbo is.
Yeah, no
one saw him. The guy and the girl know who Jimbo is. They don't even know him.
Yeah, why? If they died in the bong, why are they back to life? They should be dead.
Right. They literally had no pulses outside in the outside world. So it's just beyond ridiculous.
But since they beat it, apparently... I don't even know what happens. What happens to the bong in the real world? Did they even show it?
They didn't even show it.
They didn't even talk about it,
no.
Right?
No. The only thing is that everyone, you know, Bachman comes out of the room and talks, and then they're just all standing there in the room together, but they don't show the bong.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't. And then they show, what they do show is Tommy Chong. He's with all the strippers, and they're all sitting around him. And he whips out his Matchbox cars.
Oh, there was a running joke. We didn't mention that he loves Matchbox cars.
And his wife sold them all.
Oh, and he was like, I really love those little cars,
yeah,
man.
His wife is just selling shit of his.
He actually drives the Matchbox cars over their breasts.
I was like, wow.
I was like, are they uncomfortable? I don't even know the sequence.
No, they weren't uncomfortable.
I think one of them seemed like But yeah, you know, what they tell us is he killed EB. But didn't die, but is now the king of the dream world.
Yeah.
Of the bong world.
There's no explanation here.
None.
This is just a bunch of silliness. I mean, this guy, I don't know what they paid him, but he was, I mean, honestly, he gets to look at naked women, act crazy, you know, deliver some funny lines, and you get paid for that. I mean, they probably handed him copious amounts of weed, too. So I was just like thinking the whole time, wow. I mean... come on. Anything to do with, you know, any movie with weed and Tommy Chong shows up, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
That's standard, you know? Like, I wasn't even, like, shocked.
No,
like,
me neither.
You know? But,
Him and the old man in the wheelchair are the only highlights. I actually think the bong idea is kind of funny and the weed humor should be really, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this probably could have been a lot of fun if they did fun things with the bong world.
Now, do you think if we were drunk,
we might have had more fun?
You think
and
so?
If we were stoned, if people were like, everybody got together and got, you know, smoked and got some food and put this on, I bet everybody would be laughing.
You think so?
I feel like there's something here that could be fun. It's just very lazily
done.
It
was very repetitive. Like you said, if they changed up the bong world,
the bong world needed to be worked on.
It needed to be worked on.
And explained of what it is.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it is.
I mean, why is this thing collecting souls just because it can? Like, what's the reasoning? What is
it
doing?
It wants to become powerful in the real world?
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, it's silly. I don't even know why we're even trying to analyze something like this. This movie was made for shits and giggles, you know? I mean, that's why there's 10 of them. So the movie's over. I mean, Tommy Chong's, you know, playing with Matchbox cars with his new gal pals. That's it. Movie's over. So, okay. I can't wait to see how they're going to set up the fact that the bong blew up. So how is it going to come back?
But, like, if it blows up in the bong world, why would it actually blow up?
Right. I feel like
and
he did that on purpose.
And why would it expel the souls?
Right.
He did that on purpose so he wouldn't, so he could make another one of these. He didn't tell us anything so he can make another one. This is just a goofy, this is going to be a goofy franchise for him just to have fun with and, you know, make with his friends.
I feel like you're giving it a little bit of credit by even saying that he thought. He was just like, fast. Get this done.
I mean, but you're still spending money and putting, you know, people's time and efforts at, you know, up front and center. So it's like, you have to want to believe in what you're doing, I guess.
I mean, I guess so.
I mean, anyone can just make 10 of the same exact movies. Not that I'm saying they're all the same exact movie. I've only seen one, but I have a feeling it's going to be more of the same crap. I would just like to hope that in the next ones, the bong gets an improvement and they spend less money on other things and work on the bong itself. Like maybe make the mouth move or something to that effect.
Well, I'm intrigued why in the bong world, the Charles Band characters are there. I would love to know why, because if the ginger dead man is like versing her in another movie and there's some kind of connection, by the way, the one character plays the two, one character in each franchise, which is weird. I would love to know how they're going to explain that. So if that happens, ginger dead man showed up in the bong world. So like what? Is he in the real world? Is he in the bong world? Like, is his soul there? Is that suggesting that it's some kind of purgatory? I have no idea.
It doesn't make any sense. We've seen Ginger Dead Man, and that's not something that happens. Like, they don't discuss that or, you know.
I just would love to know how he comes back to life.
Yeah.
But again, I guess Ginger Dead Man, too, we haven't seen Passion of the Crust or something like that. I think that's what it's called.
You gotta give him credit.
Oh, you gotta give him credit, yeah.
You gotta give him credit.
I actually love A High Five and 420. I was like, okay, I love that.
God.
I love that. But Infinity High for the last one is kind of a funny idea.
Oh my God. You know we're not gonna be... I don't know if I can get to all 10 of them.
I think we know what we're doing in October.
Oh, hell no. October's mine. We are not doing these freaking evil bong movies. I cannot.
Actually, I think I know what October is already. So anyways. What are we giving this?
Oh, God.
What are we scoring this?
Christ. I'm going to give it a 2.
A 2.
It's bad.
I wanted to give it near a 4, but it's a 3.
Oh, it's bad. I mean, I can see if there was like a character that was less shitty than any of the other ones. No, they were all equally shitty. And then the plot is just straight up redonkulous. And then, I mean, I guess the only thing that would even warrant the 2 that I'm giving it is the Tommy Chong and the old man in the freaking wheelchair. That's it.
That's it.
There's nothing else. Everything else felt like a sitcom most of the time. And I feel like even, like, you know, with all the cliches and the silliness, even if I was stoned or on edibles or whatever, I still would not appreciate this movie. I just didn't find it like... There's only 2 hysterical moments in it. And one had to do with a burnt, charred doll that was... like masturbating. I'm like, okay, this is the high point. This is the high point.
See what you did there.
Oh, you see what I did? I did not do that shit on purpose. I did not at all do that on purpose. But yeah.
She'd be like, yeah, baby.
I'm like, this is a high point. And I'm like, okay, if this is your high point, this movie's bad. So yeah, it's a 2 from me. It's bad.
I'm going to go 3. I'm going to give it a little bit more of a credit than it should deserve. But I just feel like it's just something there almost being fun.
All right, well, and that brings us to our segment of why we can't have nice things, where I read out 2 extremes of online reviews, a 1 10 star and a 1 1 star review, as proof that people can't rate movies and they ruin it for the rest of us. I'm going to start with the 1 star review. This is 1 out of 10, terrible even for stoners.
Oh, there you go.
I watched this and was absolutely terrified at the level of acting and script writing that Evil Bong has presented. Out of all the stoner movies I have watched, Evil Bong comes last, and it will probably always come last, whatever I watch, because this is one of the worst films of all time. The characters are so poor, it makes me cringe even when I think back to it. God knows why I even watched the whole thing. I can even go as far as to say how offensively stupid this movie is, and portrays the whole marijuana culture as one big rubbish trip. Even the star appearance of Tommy Chong couldn't save this one, I'm afraid. There's a marijuana culture?
What do you mean?
Marijuana culture.
Of course.
Okay. And it's being portrayed as rubbish in this?
Yeah, they're saying that the stoner community looks like shit. Okay. It's not fun.
Okay.
You know what, though? You were a part of it once. Come on now.
I wouldn't call it a marijuana culture.
There's a culture around it. There's a, like, certain things that they love to do and people love, and there's like...
All right.
I mean, okay. I know for a fact that, well, I'm a huge Cheech and Chong fan. I'm a huge Cheech and Chong fan. And seeing, you know, even him show up in the movie made me have fun. Just because I love them and I get that culture.
Okay. All right. I'll give it that. Okay, fine. All right. So that was the one. This is the 10 out of 10.
Unbelievable. So, Charles Band wrote this.
No. It's...
Was it Eby?
No. So bad it's good. That's what this is titled.
I get that. Okay, go ahead.
My mum often picks up cheap horror movies she finds at yard sales for me. And sometimes she brings home those DVDs with a handful of horror movies on them that generally suck. But I was looking over one of them and noticed the title Evil Bong. It's the only movie I've ever watched on the disc, and probably the only movie I've ever watched on any of those DVDs. It's one of those movies where the plot is just so ridiculous and the budget so low that you laugh through the entire thing. A great movie to watch with a group of friends. If you enjoy the type of movies that are so bad they're good, I would recommend this to you. I've seen it about a dozen times and still put it on when I'm with friends. I can't believe there's more of them. Okay, so bad it's good. So bad it's good never warrants a 10 out of 10.
No, we're always talking about
this. Yeah. Even if you laugh and you think this is stupid humor and it's trash humor,
yeah,
fine. It does not warrant a 10. That's ridiculous. You know, this is like putting this on a pedestal of like movies like Jaws. Like, get the fuck out of here. Okay, Jaws is a 10. Aliens is a 10. You can't put this on a freaking pedestal with those kinds of movies. This is trash. And it knows it's trash. So
agreed.
This review sucks.
I think that if they change the score to 4 and said so bad it's good, then I would be like, perfect.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
We have a list. We both have saying this isn't the worst movie ever made. It's kind of close.
Okay.
It's not that close, but... does it deserve to be on the top 10 of our list of the worst movies ever made, according to what we've seen on the podcast?
Yes.
All right. You went on the top 10. Yes. Top 5?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No.
So your top 5 are Star Wars Holiday Specials number 1, number 2, Dinosaur Island, number 3, Toxic Avenger 3, number 4, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, number 5, Night Train to Terror.
Where's Showgirls on that list?
Showgirls is number 9.
All right, put this at 10.
Oh, you would have rather watched this than Showgirls?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I fucking hated Showgirls.
Well, on the top 10, we have 6 is Back to the Hood, Toxic Avenger 2, Murder Size, Showgirls, and Barbarella. You want to kick Barbarella off the list?
Yeah.
All right,
that's Barbarella. How I feel about it.
Barbarella is coming off. I would put this at number 6, but we're going to listen to you. We're going to put it at number 10.
This movie is really bad. It's bad. And then the fact that there's 10 of these, holy shit.
Yeah. It makes me happy for the future to watch them.
Oh, boy. God damn it, Ken.
I can't wait how bad is next week's going to be.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
What's next week's movie?
Doll Graveyard.
Oh, I can't wait for this now. And hopefully the dolls move and it's like, you know, it's actually like My Movie Dolls.
But the one in this movie is it one of the dolls?
Oh, that little like not Zuni burnt charred thing?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take it.
Can you think, imagine that thing wiggling at somebody for to they
as
die?
As long as it plays with his penis. For
like, oh my god, funny. That was the best.
I mean, yeah. They didn't show the penis.
I love that it had a joint in his mouth.
It did. It did. Yeah.
All right. Any parting thoughts on this episode?
Oh my god, if this is any indication of what the month of February is going to be like, I have one thing to say to you, Ken. God damn it.
And I say thank you. Thank you.
God damn it, Ken.
We need to see the worst.
Yeah. This was a fun one to talk about.
Well, I mean, I actually didn't mind watching it. I'm not going to lie.
It was okay.
I didn't mind it.
It was okay to watch, but ultimately this is a giant piece of shit. So, but that's what we do here on the show. We talk about giant pieces of shit and reflect on our lives. That's what we do. I'm happy to reflect on my life because my life is really good with you.
I love you too. All right, everybody. As always, hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. We would love to hear more movies that we should have on this list. If you've seen things just as bad or worse, The Evil Bong, we're here for it. Give us a heads up. Write us on there.
I'm screening this shit.
No. No.
No, no screeners. No. No screeners. We'll do what you tell us.
Yeah. That's what we're here for. All right, so until next time, thank you and have a good one. Bye.
Well, I'm going to take myself a quick dump, and then Rose and I will be on about our business, leaving you three to do whatever it is you do. Huh?